Today, okay?
Very interesting tzitzit about religion and Jews and other people's view of religion. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the last three makos, which is a shift, because there's a whole different set of makos, very quick to remember, Bo is three, Be is Aleph, Vayera, Vav, and Aleph is Zayin, so there's seven in Vayera, three in Bo. But it's not just the shift between the partials, but there's a new introduction. Some makos have introductions, some don't have introductions, but the most grandiose and broad introduction is in the Makkah that will start at least the series of Arba Choshev Makkahs Bucharos. First of all, Hashem says, "Ani echbadeti libo v'slev avadav." We talked about that yesterday. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "This Makkah is now not just intended for Paro, but it's intended for you." Uleman tisaper piyasei bincha uben mincha eis asher salati b'mitzvayim v'soso sayesh rosamti bam v'yidvidatem kini Hashem. So Hashem is overtly saying that these makos are directed at a Jewish audience, not just at the Egyptians to break their will, to punish them, moral instruction, theological instruction, but this is for the Jewish people. But to say it differently, we're storytellers. And when people become storytellers, they have a future and they have a vision. So it's not what I want to talk about today, but you can read my article this week about what does it mean to be part of a story? How does life change when you see your life as either you have to make a decision in life? Is your life a snapshot or is your life a story? The difference is stories have chapters. If your life is a chapter, then there's a chapter before you, there's a chapter after you. It's a whole different way to view life. Snapshots are stories. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the Nitziv has a very interesting point. And Nitziv says, it sounds like the Jewish people also listening to the same instructions that Paro is listening to, because Paro is also learning about Hashem, and he's Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim, he's also Sai Asher Samti Bam. So it sounds like the Jewish people are actually eavesdropping on the Egyptians, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delivering messages to Paro, and the Jewish people are going to listen, V'datem Kini Hashem, and tell that story. What about the opposite way? Is religion similar for non-Jews as it is for Jews, namely, obviously, they don't have the same amount of mitzvahs, obviously. But is it just a quantitative difference that non-Gentiles' religious expectations or Gentiles and Jewish religious expectations are the same but just lower, or they're different? So he quotes several psukim, which I'm not going to delve into now, particularly pasuk in Yehoshua. And he makes a major, major interesting statement, which I just want to speak about for a moment. He says that Yiras Hashem is not incumbent upon non-Jews. Theology, philosophy is. So when it comes to philosophy, in the beginning of Bo, Jews and Egyptians are the same. Paro has to learn lessons about Hashem, and the Jewish people in Goshen have to learn those same lessons. But throughout Tanakh, when the Torah writes about Yiras Hashem, that is something unique for the Jewish people. He quotes the pasuk in Yoshua, but you quote the other pasukim. Ma'isal re'ati Yisrael ma'Hashem elokecha sho'el me'imach ki'im li'yiras Hashem elokecha. Ata yadati ki yirei lukim ata, the Akedah is a uniquely Jewish moment. Although Kohelis makes it sound like Yerushalayim is more universal. Sof davar kol nishma, es lukim yirav, es mitzvah sav shemar. How does Kohelis end? Ki zeh kol ha'adam. It sounds against initiative, like it's a little bit more general. Parshas Yisro, Hashem says that the entire pyrotechnics of Yisro is bavur tiyer yiras Hashem al penechem levolti sechato. So it's an interesting question, but it's an interesting theory of the Nitziv. And why is it an interesting theory of the Nitziv? So the Nitziv says that the proof or the connotations, consequences of the Yiras Hashem not applying to Goyim is that it's not a daily call to duty. A guy believes in theory, but it doesn't have to infiltrate his day-to-day. Whereas Yiras Shamayim and mitzvos turn religion into a minute-by-minute day-to-day occupation. So for the Nitziv, the difference between Judaism and other religions in their best form, not other corrupted religions, but other religions in their ultimate form, is that other religions are much more remote. You believe, but religion for a Jew is day-to-day activity. That's based on the pasuk he quotes from Yehoshua. I'm thinking about two other issues that Yiras Shamayim for a Jew and non-Yiras Shamayim for a non-Jew connotes. Number one, a relationship. Judaism is divided into three parts. We often talk about mitzvos, that's what we focus most of our attention on defining. There's a set of beliefs that we have to subscribe to. And then there's emotions that we have to feel with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The two emotions we try to trigger are Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It's an amazing concept to try to build an emotional landscape with a being you can't describe. I can love ice cream because I can taste it. I can love a person because I can feel them. I can be in their presence. I can love a painting because it has a visual impact. I can love a movie because it makes my heart pound. How can I love something I can't describe, I can't see, I can't feel, I can't... It's an incredible accomplishment. Isn't it Siv hinting to the fact that that emotional landscape that a Jew is supposed to build with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which has two components to it, Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, is not demanded of a Gentile? The difference between a Gentile and a Jew is not just the frequency and the level of infiltration and innervation that for us religion is at 8 o'clock, at 8:30, at 9, at 30, and for a Gentile is just a system of beliefs, but also, for example, for the Greeks, gods were very, very distant. There's no sense of a relationship between Plato and his god. Gods represent a certain idea, certain strengths, certain values, but man was not expected to engage, at least in an emotional, there were interactions, but not necessarily emotional relationships. So, in the ultimate form, when religion for Gentiles will ultimately emerge, will there be an expectation of an emotion, or is that a unique element that Hashem demands and expects and creates with Am Yisrael? Another difference, not just the emotional landscape, but particularly Yirat Shamayim. And this, I think, hits me very strong when I think about modern monotheistic religions. I spoke a minute ago about the emotions of Yirat Hashem and Avas Hashem, but the Nesiv focuses in on Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim doesn't mean you're afraid. Yirat Shamayim means you know you can't understand Hashem. The best word for it is transcendence. Remember we spoke about Kabbalah, the non-Mekubal says, I can't understand Hashem, there's a gap between me and Hashem, I'll just accept that as the hierarchy. So Mekubal says, let's try to bridge the gap and understand how Hashem's infinity trickles down to my reality. So Yiras Hashem means you accept the fact you can't understand Hashem, which is why the milestone of Yiras Shamayim is because Avram's in a zone that he can't possibly understand Hashem because it's such an immoral act, at least at a human level, that Hashem is commanding him to. Is that concept demanded of a non-Jew as strictly as it's demanded of a Jew? Namely, we have stood by monotheism, but not just monotheism, but pure and absolute monotheism. There's no way that we can understand Hashem. There's no way, shape, or form. All the other monotheisms in this world, especially Christianity, they make certain compromises. Now, their compromises are very gross. I don't mean gross in the sense of disgusting, repulsive, but gross in the sense of just it's very simplistic. God has a son, and God has a son. So they're trying to grab it from both ends. And Hashem is transcendent. We can also address him to... Okay, we know that's paganism. Every Rishon and Paskin says Christianity is paganism. But if you just tweak that a little bit, are Gentiles expected to relate to Hashem in the complete way that we are? Zeshmi li'olam, we can't even say his name, we can't understand him, and we protect and preserve the unknowability and inscrutability of Hashem? Or is that not demanded of a Gentile? Is a Gentile allowed to think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms that are a little bit less infinite and unknowable? Without becoming, of course, as paganistic as saying that Hashem has God has a son or anything. But is this the same demand of a Gentile? So this is a really fascinating mitziv, which he says, look, in the beginning of Bo, there's a parody between the Egyptians learning theology of Hashem and Ashkocha and providence and intervention, and the Jews have to eavesdrop and tell that story. What about the opposite? What about our story in Yisrael? Is that also something that Pyro has to eavesdrop upon? He says, not necessarily. There are parts of Judaism that don't apply to non-Jews, and not just what we typically think about. We think about the typical offset is 6:13 versus 7. That's the big difference. We have 6:13, they have 7. But in the world of beliefs, we assume that it's the same, because beliefs shouldn't change, because beliefs are objective and absolute. Okay, the answer is maybe not. Maybe there's a belief system for a Gentile that's structured a little bit differently in the optimal sense than it is for a Jew. So it's just fascinating to think about this. Chodesh Tov, everyone. Chodesh Tov. Thank you.